I met a woman from the Ukraine, and Reverend Joel, you'll be interested in knowing about this. Reverend Barbara Legere, I think her name is. She is the minister in Ukraine, and they have a thriving, mind-blowing work there. Seems unlikely, doesn't it? Although it's very tricky because we spoke for quite a while, and they are a people that have been so suppressed for so long. I mean, we think we've been suppressed in this country, and we always reference slavery when we talk about oppression. Well, this is a whole different type. She told me things that I never knew about what went on in that country, and how oppressed they were for how long, that these people didn't know how or were not allowed to have an original thought. Don't even think about God. They weren't allowed to have an original thought and to be self-expressed. And at one point, when as if things weren't bad enough, I didn't know this. Historians, well-educated people will know this. I didn't know this. Stalin, in order to totally oppress them, he at one point, and I don't remember the time, I think it was in the 40s, went into their country and took out the food by train loads, removed the food from the country, and rationed it. Do you know that? This was shocking to me, shocking. 7 million people died in 2 years of starvation. 7 million people died in 2 years. Now, we don't hear about that number often, right? We hear about the Holocaust, we hear about some other things, and eventually we heard about Cambodia, and we hear about other horrific events. That I never knew about, and I just, shocking. So, but that wasn't what I started out to tell you, but I thought we should know. It's good to understand the suffering that has gone on in other places in the world and how we get to hold that. The fun note, she's going to take my new And So It Is book and translate it into Russian. Isn't that cool? So because they don't like God. They love the teaching, but they don't like God. And since that book doesn't have God in it, she can translate it. Well, I mean, we know it has God everywhere in it, but it's the word God is not in it. So I thought that was just a really fun thing that she's going to get that translated and make it available to us in Russian. She's also going to send us one of everything that they have in Russian for your bookstore, which I'm very excited about. Okay, that was just a little side journey. 3 weeks ago, I brought you three ideas. We don't have the PowerPoint, so now I'm going to really stretch your memories. We had three ideas, and I'll prompt you, and those of you who weren't here, it's okay, they're simple. The ideas were dream, and dream in full color, right? That was the first idea we went to. And then the week after that, we said, life is what it is because I say so. Say that. Life is what it is because I say so. We also said, the good of my life is governed by the acceptance of that good. The good of my life is governed by the acceptance of that good. And the last point of that day was, good is all I know. And I prefaced it by saying, all I know, not by all I see, because sometimes we see to the contrary. Matter of fact, who here is worried about the storm? All right, religious scientists, what do you want to have happen? I want the storm to be blown away, to be reduced to a non-event. Will you join me in that?
Yes.
So be it. That's what we do. We get to choose. Today, you have three new points. I want you to repeat after me, and then we'll feed them. I forgive to live.
I forgive to live.
I forgive to prosper.
I forgive to prosper.
And I forgive to thrive.
I forgive to thrive.
I forgive to live. I forgive to prosper. I forgive to thrive. Okay. These are essential. essential to having the life we want. Essential. Every teacher, every metaphysical teacher, every teacher of prosperity, everyone always, all the time, comes back around to teaching forgiveness. How many times do you forgive? You know this one. 70 times 70, which means always. How many times? 70 times 70. Always. We forgive always. Why? Because the place in us where forgiveness does not exist, the place where we hold resentment, the place where you are totally justified. Now, be honest, how many of you have places in your life where you are justified for being angry? Okay, if that works for you, okay. But what if this, and this would be the gamble, what if you took the gamble and forgave anyway? Because for every place where every resentment, every upset, every judgment, every criticism, every place of blame, every place where you are sure that that person is screwed up and has affected your life, every single place, there is a pocket of energy that when it is invested in that thing cannot be invested in your wholeness. I'm sorry, but there's no exception to this rule. I love Edwene Gaines. You guys know Edwene Gaines? She's the teacher of prosperity. She's a unity minister. She is a hoot. She is an absolute hoot. We might or might not have her book on the four spiritual laws of prosperity in a bookstore. We do. Okay. She is an absolute hoot. And this woman speaks about forgiveness in such a beautiful way. This is not a prosperity talk, but it is partially about prosperity, because who here needs just a little more flow, ease, grace, and money in their lives? Then we go back to the practice of forgiveness. Debt is where we hold someone responsible, where we hold something responsible. We create debt in our lives. Because we hold something outside of us responsible, and for some, and one other main reason, we are not willing to allow our good. We haven't gotten into enough self-acceptance. So we create this place of debt. Get that? It doesn't always seem like it's connected. It's not an obvious connection. It's more obvious that if you're angry with somebody, being angry creates discord. That's more obvious. Holding yourself as not accepting, not acceptable, not worthy. Holding someone else as fault doesn't quite seem like it's tied up in your debt, but I'm telling you, it is. Forgiveness is required. If you do not want to be part of the masses, if you do not want to be part of the greater mass of people walking around out there unconscious, you must take this practice. I found a lovely quote by a man who was a psychologist and the head of some psychology department in a very big university. Thomas Szasz, I think his name is. I don't know how to pronounce it. Forgive this quote, but it's funny and it's so true. The stupid never forgive or forget. Let's call that the ignorant. Let's say that. The ignorant never forgive or forget. The naive forgive and forget. The wise forgive, but do not forget. And I believe that this is true, because I am never asking you to forgive and then put yourself in harm's way. I am not saying forgive and be dumb. I'm not saying forgive and lend money again to someone who didn't pay you back the first time. I'm not saying to forgive someone who has harmed you, even if I mean physically, and then have them over for dinner. I am never saying, I have never said, put yourself in harm's way. But I am saying, free yourself. And then by Lewis B. Smeads, I believe his name is, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. We know this. Whether you are the prisoner or the guard, you are both captured. No one is free in that moment. So to continue to keep the tally marks on who did what, who was it nice to you, who did yada, 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 whatever it is, you have 1,000, 10,000. Actually, we have 6.5 million versions. Because we have 7 billion people on this planet now. Yeah, I meant billion. 7 billion people. So we have 7 billion versions of the same restricting story. Unless we go beyond it. We're going to get this in. Oh, actually, Reverend Joel is bringing this to us in another version. I've never seen this book before. It's What Religious Science Teaches. Do you have an old version of this at home? I bet you do. Experienced religious scientists had all these things way before we did. Religious science not only emphasizes this unity of God and man, it teaches us that in such degree as our thought becomes spiritualized, it actually manifests the power of God. In doing this, it literally follows the teaching of Jesus when he proclaimed that all things are possible to him who believes. For every thought that we have, there is energy and power in that thought. And whether the thought is invested in recognizing your wholeness and your freedom and let's just stay with freedom. When it is not invested there, but it is invested in, you done bad to me. That cannot do anything but restrict you. Cannot do anything but to hold you back. So first, our task, especially if you're here for the first time, if you're new to this teaching, if the conversation around forgiveness is new, you've heard the word, but I'm talking about the conversation, the hard conversation where you engage someone and you look at them and you decide not to hold them harm as a true spiritual regular practice. So we forgive what was in the past to free ourselves of what was. We keep thinking, freedom, freedom, freedom. We forgive and we stay present. The way we stay present is we don't accuse someone of having harmed us. We take responsibility. We don't blame, ever. You do something I don't like, where do I look? Where do I look for what I'm experiencing? Here. Where do you look where you're experiencing it? Within you. Not what did so-and-so do to me? What am I feeling? What did I make that mean? What is my idea about that? What is my judgment about that? What is my criticism about that? How am I holding this person to blame? And then when we do this work, we start to have a distance between the experience and what we are making of it. Are you with me here? This is critical to your freedom, to your health. This is critical to your prosperity. We forgive where it's obvious to forgive. Some of us have stories, real like soap opera stories. I know. I don't even have to know you all, but I know statistically speaking, a good portion of this room has been abused. A good portion of this room has been neglected, has been rejected. You've been torn down by society. You've been told you're not enough. You've been criticized for, oh God, who knows what reason. I know that. But you are not at the mercy of those voices. And the only way to retrieve your power is to stay current and not let someone own that. Your power is always in the moment. We forgive to free ourselves for greatness. For greatness. What is greatness? Walking down the street with a clear heart and a clear mind. Free. I'm going to ask you, since I've already asked you to go beyond your comfort level today, we're going to stay with that. I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to do two processes today. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, join me by closing your eyes. And what I'd like you to do, if you will, I'd like you to bring for you, I'm going to call it the face of God. Bring to mind for you that face, that image, that feeling, whatever that is. Whether it is some ethereal, abstract something, or whether it is a face. Maybe for you it is Jesus. Maybe for you it is the Buddha. Whatever it is, let it be good. Bring that face to mind right now and really, really imagine it. Get present to it and just take a couple of breaths right now, releasing anything that's in the way of being present. Let out your breath. And one last one. Now let that image move to the side just a tad and bring to mind right now the face of someone with whom you have a challenge. Mother, father, husband, wife, exes, children, bosses, ministers, friends, someone who's alive, someone who's no longer alive. Bring the face of that person to mind and look at them right now as objectively as you possibly can from the place of love. Now take your image of God and superimplant that face on top of the face of this person. And look at them both until they merge into one face. Keep breathing, keep your breath alive. Keep breathing. Let the image of God for you absorb the image of that face. Okay, now we're going to go a little further. We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you now again to imagine, now I want you to imagine somebody you love. Somebody you love so much, you just see them and they put a smile on your face. And in your imagination, have them sitting before you. And say to them, not out loud in the room, but in your imagination, I am the love of God. Actually, say it out loud here. I am the love of God. And now say, all the love of God is within me. All the love of God is within me. Now, in your imagination, hug them deeply. In your imagination, say directly to this person, I love you 3 times. So it's I love you, I love you, I love you. now say, I feel love. I feel God. I thank you. I feel love. I feel God. Thank you. Now that should have been a little easier. But now go deeper and bring back, maybe not the same person, but another person with whom you have an unforgiveness. Someone who you really need to release. Bring that person to mind. Don't question it. Don't try to work this out. This is all spiritualized. Have that person sit before you in your imagination. And once again, we are going to say to them, and you can say this part out loud, I am the love of God. All the love of God is within me. Now hug that person. You might feel your resistance, but hug them anyway. Breathe through it. And say to them, I love you. I love you. I love you. I feel love. I feel God. Thank you. Now open your eyes. Bringing this vibration into the room, being the love that you are, being the love in the room, being the love of the planet, being the love of God. I'm going to ask you to go one step further. I'm going to ask you to do this with somebody in this room. I know I'm asking a lot. I know I am. But if you want to free your heart, this is the way to do it. So if you will, very quietly, no language, you will find the exact right person. Choose a person and stand in front of them. Right now, right here. Now, while looking at this person in their eyes, and maybe you might want to make contact, you might want to put a hand on each other if that's acceptable. You look at them and you say to them out loud, I am the love of God. All the love of God is within me. Now you hug. You're not done. Now you say, I love you 3 times. I feel love. I feel God. Thank you. Now we're going to do it one more time. You're going to go to someone you don't know. Go to stretch a little bit. Go to somebody you don't know. Let's stay silent, if you will, so we stay present in our quiet. There's someone here that needs somebody. Is there another person who's not? Oh, back there. There you go. Everybody have somebody now who wants somebody? Good. Repeat after me. looking at them. I am the love of God.
I am.
All the love of God is within me. Now embrace with that love. And you say to them three times, I love you. I love you. I love you. I feel love. I feel God. Thank you. When you're ready, take your seats. Not a single person, and I've said this before, this is not new, but I know we need certain reminders. No one here, there's nothing that you have done where you are not fully worthy and deserving of all forgiveness, complete, total forgiveness, release, and your worthiness. There is no one sitting, there is no one who has ever sat here in this sanctuary who did not deserve to feel the full embrace of your own goodness. Yes?
Yes.
You believe me?
Yes.
So let that be so. And so it is.